I don't know about you, I have a two-year-old, and I have a six-month-year-old, and right now, halfway to a year, and I'm starting to feel the off period of Christmas. So, he was very fun yesterday, and by fun, I don't mean fun. All of Aldi knows us now. Everybody. So with that said, I know there's a lot going on. Open up to me real quick. Psalm 73 real quick before we get into our service. So Christmas and Easter, I've only been a head pastor for right at 2.5, almost 3 years. They're the most challenging because you got to say somewhat the same thing without saying some of the same things. But I tend to not like to do the same thing ever, so I always just try to find inspiration, something for the season to inspire me so that whatever I'm talking about is new, it's original, it's not the same thing, but it's got to be something just to interest me. So Christmas and Thanksgiving, it's funny because New Year's Eve sermons are the easiest because we all know we need a better year. That's easy. Easter, Christmas, a little more challenging, but I want to begin with this. Look at Psalm 73 real quick, just verses 25 through 28. I want to begin with this before we get into where the Lord inspired me for this sermon. Verse 25 says this, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you." Let's pause and read that again. Did you read that? There's some thickness to this verse. Whom have I in heaven but you? Now, I've got lots of friends, family, but notice what the psalmist is saying here. The only most significant relationship is you, God. And it says, and there is nothing on earth that I desire beside you. We're coming into Christmas, and my theme for the season has been consistent. I'll get there in a little bit. There's nothing that I desire more than you. Now, I'm not sure all of us can say that. Maybe some of us feel that, want to say that, and our hearts were like, man, that's not, I want to totally believe that. But here's the thing. This is a verse that I think we should, and coming into the season of Christmas, this would be a great verse for you to be meditating on in Christmas. If you want to celebrate Christmas, right, this verse really gets to the heart of it. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth I desired besides you. More than anything else, God, Christmas is supposed to be about Christ coming, Emmanuel. Hope for the entire world. That is what Christmas is about. Nothing do I desire more than you. And at Christmas, we have an opportunity with those around us, with your kids, with your family, to show, man, this season is about you, God. I desire nothing more than you. Goes on, verse 26, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish, but you put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. This is what I'm after this sermon today, is sometimes Christmas is not about Christ anymore. And this passage that I just read to you says everything, even my desires, even when my flesh and my heart may fail, I know that God, I know my heart is for you. And ultimately, God, I will make it my business to tell the whole world of your works. And now, how is that more important than in Christmas when we celebrate the Savior of the world who came? And I'm not going to read the passage to you. You know it in Luke chapter 2. We know that the Savior came and a king tried to murder every child to get to that king. Amen? Fled to Egypt. They could not stop what was set in motion. So today, my inspiration, it's an odd inspiration because it's not what you would normally do at Christmas, but I don't want to come and have you come and us just come and just be light when the Lord was saying, I want something heavy. The Lord's put in my heart the screw tape letters. I don't know if you've ever read that, but that's the demonic conversation. And he has this portion of time where he talks about the theme of how can we stop this child? Because we missed it the first time. The first time was we tried to kill him. We couldn't get to him. But we can still kill that child. We can still kill the message. And we got to focus on Christmas being something different than what it should be. And then we could still kill the theme of what it's about. Christ. Amen? So that's my theme. Telling you now, that's where the Lord took me. So we're carrying out the same theme I've had for a little bit. So here's the two verses just last week. Now, we had the emoji Christmas, and I got up for about 8 minutes, 10 minutes. And here's our two theme verses, and I want to carry this into this sermon. So just a little recap. Luke 2:10. This is what Christmas is about. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Why do we celebrate Christmas? That's why, right? I can stop, sermon over. Why do we celebrate Christmas? Good news, great joy for all the people. May we never stop saying that. It's not just for you. It's not just for me. Christmas is about the Jesus Christ came and brought the good news, brought hope for all people. Now, again, this is in a world where the Jewish people were the Jewish, they were, it was his Messiah that was to come. The focus of God was all God's people. And Jesus coming was the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. All people, all nations. And we sit here as a group of people, the majority of us, if not all of us, Gentile, I say that all the time. We are prospering because of this. Amen. So with that said, the next verse I had to remind us of last week, and I want to continue the theme of, is this, 2 Corinthians 9:15. I gave us a couple other verses, but this is the one that really stood out to me for this season. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. The gift of his life, the gift of this child, the gift of God, the salvation for all is inexpressible. I can't even put into words how amazing this is. Do we feel that? Now go back to Psalm 73. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Amen? So with that said, we get into something new. This is where kind of I was reading the Screwtape Letters. Actually, I was reading an article that brought it to mind, and then I got it and started reading it. So John Lennon's Happy Christmas. Now, to be clear, I know this is not the reason the song was written. I have all these like notes in here. I know it was written to protest America's involvement in the Vietnam War. I really have little to say about this beyond where it inspired my thoughts. But the point was, as he was singing Christmas, 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 and this weird thing happened, Saturday Night Live, I know, cover the ears of your children, Miley Cyrus. Cover their ears. All right? Her and a couple of other people wrote the same song, kind of redid it. And I thought, how odd that she will sing Christmas, but in every title, in every article, they'll say Xmas. They can't say Christmas. They won't say Christ. It's already happened. And it's funny because I was reading an article about this too, that Futurama, a show way back in the day, had already predicted in somewhere between 20, 30 years from now that Christ would be taken out of Christmas altogether. That would be the goal, and that's where it would go. And you see many kind of movements towards that. You all know this. This is the country we live in now. Even Monopoly, if you go buy a new Monopoly, it is no longer a Christmas fund. It is an Xmas fund. We got to take Christ that. Now you're saying, well, Ben, don't you know in the 16th century, Christians used to use X for the Chai, the Greek? Yes, but that's not why they're doing it. I know that, but people aren't doing it for that reason. They're doing it to get Christ out of Christmas, and look at our country. Christ's been taken out of Christmas, Bibles, prayer, anything regarding God is out of the schools. Completely gone. You know, I used to be able to go to lunch and just sit and be around a bunch of students, and now everything is totally isolated. Anytime, even if I go visit a student, I'm going to have to go be with them by themselves. I can't, I'm such a plague, a pastor, right? Such a plague. What might happen if he came to lunch? Oh my goodness, Jesus might come. Oh, get him, separate him. That's the country we live in. I used to walk in the schools. I didn't even have to go check in. I just walked in. They knew who I was. Hey, you're good. Go. Not now. We've got to get Christ. We've got to get the Bible. We got to get it all out. We know the earth creation. How crazy is it that we've taken Creator God out of the school books as a theory? The most popular theory in the world. More people believe in God, a God, than anything else in this world. Not even theory. And we're going to say evolution is a theory, which is a theory. And there's difference between vertical and horizontal evolution, but we're teaching it as a fact. Take the theory out that none of us can prove. Take it out altogether, and we're going to put evolution. It is fact. There's parts of it that are fact. Parts of it that are nothing but theory. And yet, guess what? Get Christ out. Get creation. Get anything to do with God out. That's the society we live in. We also know that the battle's going on in the courtrooms, the room of the Bible, prayer, Ten Commandments, everywhere's different. Even coins, God bless America. This is going on. So just in general, it's just funny because when I was reading and I was thinking about Lennon's song, Merry Christmas, the War is Over, what happened to my heart as I was already dabbling and reading in the Screwtape letters is, well, no, the battle's from the beginning. And the battle is to take Christ and take Christianity, take God out of everything possible. And what I'm saying to you is why? Why is that happening? And what I want to do to you, what I want to expose you to is the same thing that I've been exposed to as I'm reading the Screwtape letters. This is not just man. This is demonic. This is demonic. It is to shut down out of the mouth of anyone Christ and who he is. It's from a place of hate. It's from a place of evil. It's a place of take out the joy. And when we are celebrating Christmas, folks, we are celebrating the greatest news that's ever happened. And the greatest news that happened is there came a child, the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah. There's a chance for, as I said last week, reconciliation with mankind and God. Now, who would hate that? Demons. Satan. Why would demons and Satan hate that prospect of reconciliation, that reconciliation with God? Because they did not get what? Reconciliation with God. They got thrown out. No forgiveness, no grace, no Emmanuel, no God dying for him, for us. Now you say, Ben, this doesn't seem very Christmassy. I'm not after your warm feelings. I'm after we got the greatest news in the world. And everything in our secular society is trying to take that out. And what are we as God's people going to do? Because what is at stake is reconciliation with God. And when you see Christ being out of the picture and you're like, why is there such hostility? It's not just man. It's demonic. Why do you think there was a murdering of all children to get to the Messiah? It's not just human. It's demonic. We're in the book of Acts, and we're reading about all these gathered Jews, right? The Sadducees that don't believe in a resurrection. They're so passionate against the resurrection. Who would have a problem with a resurrection? That means you have hope. They do. Now, why? Is it just their evil? Is it just they don't get it? They don't understand? Or is there a demonic angle to this to shut down the hope for humanity? Well, we read passages where scriptures tell us this stuff. Paul says this. He talks to Timothy and he warns him multiple times. And we've got to pay attention to this multiple times. In the time in the future, it's going to get worse. And he's preaching and talking about now, but he's envisioning it's going to get worse. And he does envision an antichrist of some sort coming too. We see this in scripture. But as he's talking to Timothy, he's warning him to tell Christians, to tell the church, hey, there's going to be, in the end time that we're in, pay attention to hearts. Focus in. And he starts centering on where does this come from? Now, here's a very popular passage. We see it all the time, 2 Timothy 3. But a lot of us don't ever see 1 Timothy 4. But 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5 says this, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power, avoid such people. And then this passage, chapter 4, verse 1 says this, and now the Spirit Catch that? Before I go any further, the Spirit expresses, says in the last times, the Spirit. He's saying, I'm speaking to you, Timothy, because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is compelling me to say this to you, to warn you, so that you can warn the church. And he says this, in later times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. So I'm saying this to you because I believe when you see an absolute assault and attack on Christ, what I want you to think about is this is not just because this is New America. This is from a demonic angle that has been from the beginning to remove Christ. Move Jesus, because why do we celebrate this season? I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. But that good news for all people, it comes at a point of only Christ, only this child, only Jesus. You cannot be good enough. It's only by the message of the gospel that somebody can hear the good news and have hope for what? Reconciliation with God. So what I want to say to you is this. In the times to come, as our country continues to get even more hostile, Christians have to stop playing this game. We need to be passionate about what we believe. We have to be passionate. And you say, Ben, what are you trying to say? If you go to boycott a store because it says Xmas? No, I'm not even into that stuff. That's not my angle. My angle is when we're around people this season, when we're around people and it's Easter, we need to be capitalizing on why we celebrate what we celebrate. Because the good news we have is not just family and fun and gifts. That's all important, but we celebrate for a reason. Because great joy came. Because that child would die and he brought reconciliation with man to God. And it's not going to be said to anyone else. You've got to say it. We've got to communicate that. And you need to know when anything is stripping away Christ from the season, it's demonic in nature. The point is to keep our country going as secular as possible, because what is the after? The point is get Christ away. Get the message of gospel. Get the message of what Christmas is about. Get it out, because that is the hope for mankind to be reconciled with God. Amen? Now, we as Christians need to understand this. And so I have notes I summarized as best as I can. I'm going to read what ends up being 2 pages. Yours is, I know, me reading 2 pages. We're in trouble. I agree. I summarized the biggest points for you. And so one of the things he says is, can you not observe our influence? And so this is a conversation. If you haven't ever read the Screwtape Letters, this is C.S. Lewis. You may know him from Narnia, or you may know of many books. An amazing Christian thinker. And he writes this dialogue between demons who are talking. And it's kind of this hierarchy of Satan, and then two different ones. One's higher up, and then another one. And you're just hearing them talk. And again, this isn't scripture. This is just C.S. Lewis saying, this is what I'd imagine would be the goal. Now, this was written substantially longer than today. But I'm telling you, it's relevant today. When I see what's happening in our country, when I see what's happening in our schools particularly, this is relevant to me. So sit back. You'll see some of the themes as I go through, particularly when I get past a couple passages, but I'm just going to start reading. Here we go. My dear, I need to say, here, okay. As you made perfectly clear, my last letter made you rather nauseous. My closing line sent chills down your spine and vomit up your throat. Apparently, you felt comfortable telling me this. Never forget, nephew, you report more to a superior officer than to an uncle. I should hate to remind you. Although you spoke harshly, I do understand your disbelief. How could I, a commander of the lowliness army, end by wishing you a Merry Christmas? Should we not rather feel horror concerned what took place so long ago on the day below all days, which many others avoid like the plague? I still remember my utter revulsion when news of the invasion broke. As the humans carried unaware, we saw it for what it was, an act of war, a junior temper at the time. I longed for nothing else than to join Screwtape as he stormed in behind our master. They devoured all the male offspring in their hunt for the child, coming but one short. For a time, headquarters thought we succeeded, but he escaped to Egypt of all places. The trauma of such memories lingers. But we have not ceded the dark day to the enemy. While weaker demons turn off their lights and lock the doors, the nights before Christmas, the true soldiers have ventured into enemy-occupied lands to drag unsuspected souls behind our lines. Let me give you just a quick recap, and you'll start seeing some of the quotes in this. So what he's describing is we failed in the first attempt to kill Jesus. All the children were dead but Jesus, and he's saying, basically there's a conversation, why are you saying Merry Christmas? He's saying Christmas is a great opportunity. A great opportunity to continue to succeed in taking Christ out of Christmas. And he's trying to say, this is how we're doing it. This is not the time to be scared. Oh no, they celebrate this great event that we failed at. No, no, he's saying this is the best time to mask what's really going on. Like, don't hide. This is the time to be on attack mode because we're succeeding and you're not seeing it. So he's going to go in. Let me show you how many ways we're succeeding. Is what his goal is. So how demons celebrate Christmas is what he says. I suspect we shall always be appalled by the arrival. Yet we have grown quite fond of how the humans celebrate the horrid anniversary. We love caroling with them, feasting with them, exchanging presents, decorating and watching movies, while you would have us take the holiday soaking through the shadows and licking our wounds. We have regained lost ground. Can you not observe our influence is the question. So then he goes into specifics and he says this, celebrate Xmas. Have you not observed how we kept at what we failed to do so long ago? Eliminate the child. The pine trees and presents of mistletoes and twinkling lights, Santa and snowmen, sugar cookies and family cheer, these are Christmas. We've hidden the child beneath many straw of hay. Their merriments, their inns, without spare rooms. Their shepherds stay in their fields. Wonderful have they become, magi who swap the gifts with one another, never noticing the bright star that leads to Bethlehem. Behold, Christmas delightfully abridged. We spell it Xmas. We need not Scrooge at such festivals. Let visions of sugar plums dance in their heads. Buy Tiny Tim a turkey. Invite them near to roast chestnuts over the open fire. The infant escaped 2,000 years ago, but we have found other ways to dispose of him. Number two, gift swap the child. Now, some insist on holding some form of Christian traditions each year. The religious will not abandon the child, no matter. We merely swap in a sterile, adorable, safe baby Jesus to think about, singing about, and to put up for the holiday decorations. Witness their Christmas baby. Do you see how sweetly he rests in the Virgin's arms? Observe how docile, how serene, how meek. Do you also see how strangely inarticulate, non-judgmental, and impersonal he is? Never allow him to grow up. For many, we have kept him as a babbling babe who cares nothing about sin, holiness, or his father's glory. Most who look upon him would sooner pet and pamper than bow and worship. I, for one, love our mangled Messiah. The nativity scene looks more like the enemy's Christmas card than his war room. We have replaced Emmanuel with a common, commandless, wakeless, vacant baby. He is less than their champion, less than the enemy is profane garb, less even than a man. Not God baby, but Gerber baby. Number three, he says, make everything merry. Once we've dealt with the child, we must fill the void. You have smelled the hope, peace, and joy wafting in the air. Felt the warming sense that everything will be all right. We named it Christmas Spirit. A few sprays of family fuzzies, days off work, gift-giving and giving goodwill towards men, and we replace ancient reasons for the joy to the world. Make everything merry. Focusing the humans on their feelings is a sure way to steal what news of great joy from our subject. Sentimentalism, nephew sentimentalism. The murder, the mushier their foundation for naivety, the better. We offer only temporary reprieves. After presents lie unwrapped, living rooms empty, goodwill fades, and work resumes, we can leave them more miserable on December 26th than they've been all year. Comfort the holiday Christians. Finally, nephew, Christmas affords a brilliant opportunity to implement one of our favorite holiday initiatives, 24-hour Christianity. Do you notice how religious they become during this season? We do not mind church attendance soaring. We encourage their playing Christian for a day. They need annual religious check-ins, a little soul dentistry, as it were, Galdrup, as the guy he's talking to, sprinkling some religion into their annual diet, lulls their conscience asleep while promising some degree of absolution. Their enemy takes attendance as Christmas, you see, as long as they make some effort to stop by each year. He surely wouldn't condemn them along with their non-Christians, Eve service attending heathen. These holiday saints make for delicious Christmas cookies, he's describing hell. Merry Xmas indeed. Observe our genius nephew a time of year designed to remind them of the enemy's triumph, repurposed to drive them further away. Despite the Vernon's noise and jubilant, and the child is quietly missing from his own birthday celebrations. Busyness, stress, presents, syrup sentiments, family warmth, good food, it all leaves me dreaming of a dark Xmas. Still, a week away, time remains. Gather with them before the fire. Sing about Rudolph's red nose, jingle bells, and how they often have their mommies kissing Santa Claus. Encourage them to attend their annual church service. Check the registry and safe services. Focus their attention inward. Fill their bursting schedules with anything but humble adoration. Let no one look upon the child. Never let the worship the unsanitized Messiah, or gather around what wretched tree we adorned with the child years ago. He's talking about the cross. Do not let them pray together, read scripture together, invite our dead ones over to spend time together. Keep it good humored, shallow, safe. So a very Merry Christmas to you and yours, your festive uncle, Wormwood. All right. What a Christmas service, right? Folks, I'm pretty passionate about this. This is the message God put on my heart. We're in a season of the book of Acts where we are talking about the gospel is the most important thing that we could possibly do. What is the point of a church that doesn't take very serious this season, that says, what is this season about? It is about this child came and good news came to all mankind. And what I'm saying to you is you need to know in the times to come, which we are in right now, the demonic world wants to shut down this holiday that we celebrate and replace it for secularism and take out Christ. Now, again, I'm not saying you pick it. I'm not into all that. I'm simply saying be aware. Be aware in your own families. Be aware with your children. Be aware with your family. How do you celebrate Christmas? And as I said last week, how do we celebrate not as a lost person? As a person who's focused on the point of the season, how do we greatly emphasize the importance of this? How do we press into our hearts as we go into the season and there's so much joy? And I'm not saying like, oh, we should leave, feel bad. No, no, no. I'm just reminding you, remind yourself all the time, why is there joy? Why is Christmas awesome? Why does this matter? How awesome is it that we have a whole country's holiday devoted to what this season is about? And what the world wants you to do is be quiet about what it's about. So what does a Christian do? All the more proclaim. Amen? And reinforce in the world. No, 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 no. I'm sorry. You can take Xmas and say, this is what the holiday is. They may change Christmas altogether to Xmas. Who cares? Christ is what it's about. Jesus came. Emmanuel. Hope for all people. And as you interact with your family, as you interact with those that are around you, and they have that joy. I mean, my neighbor just the other day was giving all this. He filled up an entire truck of toys for Tots. And he's like, it just feels so good to give. Yes, it feels so good to give. And you know who gave the greatest gift of all? Christ, Jesus. He gave his life that we can have joy. All mankind can have reconciliation, that which the demons have no ability to have. Why would they viciously attack? Out of jealousy, out of hatred, out of, I can't believe that God would do this for you, yet he didn't do that with us. Amen? So folks, as you, again, I'm kind of doubling down on what I kind of began to talk about last week. That's the theme that has been in my heart for this season, is as you go, as you celebrate, be consciously aware. What is this season about? As you give gifts, Don't be shy to say, you know what, this is a gift I'm giving you, and I'm thankful for you, and I want to present you this gift, but let me remind you, this season is about Christ, the greatest gift this world has ever seen. Constantly reminding your family, constantly reminding those you love, those you're around, because what he says is true. Notice how people get so excited for Christmas, and then guess what? We're back to the norm. We're back to all the joy drops, because what Christ came to do is not bring joy for a season. He came to bring joy for a lifetime. Because John tells us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. There is joy. There is life in Jesus. Amen? There is hope in Jesus. There's a future in Jesus. That's why I can stand before someone who's lost a loved one and say, you know what? Right? Don't mourn as someone who is not a believer. I can say that. Why? Because we don't mourn like lost people. So we don't celebrate as lost people either. We celebrate the reasons for the season, and we say it, we proclaim it, and we need to be boisterous about this, loud about it. Amen? Because here's the deal. Persecution is going to come. It's going to get harder and harder to be who we need to be. It's coming. Amen? So folks, just know it's coming our direction, but we just all the more proclaim. So this season, I remind you of that. I double down on that for 2 weeks now. Let us not forget one of the many reasons for Christmas, Jesus' purpose. John 18:37 says it this way. Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" This is right before Jesus died. Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For the purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth." What was Jesus' purpose? To bear witness to the truth. Why did he come? His entire purpose. So when we celebrate Christmas, we're celebrating why he came. His purpose, to bear witness. And he goes on. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Mark 10:45, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. Why did Jesus come? He came to give his life to be a ransom for many, to reconcile mankind. Amen? So we see further, Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he was anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and to recover of sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. We celebrate a season in which Jesus, every bit of these verses that I'm giving us, purpose statements that surround, in my mind, Christmas. Every bit of his coming was about proclaiming. Notice the word that was said multiple times. Proclaim, proclaim, proclaim. How do you celebrate Jesus? How do you celebrate Christmas? You proclaim. Amen? The Christmas song is a good song. Go tell it on the mountain. And then the emoji was a reminder on Twitter and Facebook. And yes, tell it. Proclaim. We know why we celebrate Christmas. Because listen, what is the good of people feeling good if they don't have hope? What is the good of people who were going to die because Christmas was great, but we said nothing about the real reason we celebrate because we were afraid we were going to offend? I remind you of this. How offensive would it be if someone knew you were a Christian and knew the message that they needed to hear, but you were so afraid to share? What does eternity look like in their eyes? Were they offended? I would be way more royally offended if someone had some good news I needed to hear and they never would share because they were so afraid they would offend me. Let me tell you what would be offensive. Spending eternity in hell because you were afraid to share and proclaim what the entire celebration of the season is about. Amen? So Christmas is about Jesus. It's about hope. It's about proclaiming. He came for this purpose, to bear witness to the truth. He came not to serve, but to be served. Not to be served, but to serve. He came to proclaim good news, to proclaim liberty to the captives. You live in a country full of captives, but we got to proclaim the message that can bring the shades off. Amen? So I encourage you, as we finish the final two words, these have been my themes for the last 2 weeks. Luke 2:10, what is Christmas about? And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, and that will be for all people." 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. As the band comes forward, inexpressible. Inexpressible what he's done for us. And I think from the notion of demons, the best thing that could happen is that we are not focused on the reason for this season. But Jesus, notice Jesus everywhere is proclaiming why he came. He's very honest about why he came. And now we celebrate him. So it's time for us to proclaim unashamedly why we celebrate Christmas. Amen? Feel some emboldenment because we're back in the book of Acts. We're going to go right back in. What are they doing? They're standing before the Sanhedrin proclaiming the gospel. And they say, as for me, I'm going to keep proclaiming. You do what you need to do. That's what we just read. Literally last time I preached, or 2 weeks before here, we literally read before Peter and John, who had learned his lesson, standing behind the Sanhedrin saying, I'm going to keep doing this because I'm not afraid of you princes. You know, do whatever you want to me. I'm going to proclaim what I know. Amen? Celebrate Christmas with proclamation. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time in which we get an opportunity, God, just to be reminded of this season. I know for many of us, this seems like, man, this is not a normal Christmas message, but it needs to be. Father, we are unashamed to proclaim who you are and what you've done for us. Lord, as I reminded of the Psalmist 73 that he wrote, he said, my flesh may fail, but God, my desire is that you would be the greatest in my life. I'm not perfect. We're not there yet. Many of us know that we've, just this week, have made huge mistakes. But God, we know that our hope is in you. Our salvation. Thank God that when we proclaim Christmas, we're not proclaiming a perfectionist. We're proclaiming good news for all people because you and your righteousness, and you chose to somehow not come and serve, but to be, not to come and be served, but to serve, to become a ransom for a person like me. To give me hope for the rest of my days that I will be with you in eternity, God, even when I make so many mistakes, God. So God, I pray in this season we would reinforce strongly our joy and that our joy would not be in these other things, that our greatest element of our desire and joy would be centered in what you've done for us. Let this Christmas be just, we're so thankful for what you've done for us, Jesus. Thank you for coming. Thank you for dying. Thank you for giving us hope. So that we can share with family and friends why we celebrate Christmas, God. We love you. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.